as we did in the book of Deuteronomy 25. If you may, please come with me there, Deuteronomy 25. I just want to give us a quick refresher, and so that we can go on to what we need to talk about today. I have been addressing with you the subject of how we must deal with the spirit of Amalek and Midian. These spirits that the enemy has utilized through the ages to confound the people of God, to limit them, to stop them, and to rip them off. Now, we need to know what spirits we're dealing with, because you cannot just go out there and say, "Hey, you," and expect the enemy to respond when his name is not "Hey, you." You've got to identify the spirit that you are dealing with to address it vigorously, fervently, and authoritatively. It is a must. There's no ifs or buts about that. You got to do that. And the spirit of Amalek is a spirit that's terrorized the people of God from the very beginning. It is a spirit that must be addressed fervently, authoritatively. The spirit of Amalek is a spirit that basically wants to reinforce the rights of the firstborn. Let me say what I mean by that, because Amalek is the grandson of Esau. You remember Esau? How many of you remember Esau? Okay. I'm in the right room. Esau took for granted his birthright and sold his birthright for porridge, and came at the latter end to get the blessing of his father. The father himself wanted to bless Esau. He was his oldest boy. But God saw Esau before Esau did what he did. He saw Esau. He saw the mindset in Esau that this Esau did not honor him as he should. The Amalekite spirit has no true fear of God. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, verse 17, and I'll give you a quick rundown so I can get to the Midianites. It says, verse 17 of Deuteronomy 25, it says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all they that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." And he what? Feared not God, did not reverence God. The spirit of irreverence to God is born out of the spirit of Amalek. And the spirit of Amalek will always go after the weak ones to draw them down. And its ultimate goal is to make sure that he gets what you have as a son of God, as a daughter of the living God. He wants what you've got. And this attitude, this mindset, caused God to set himself against this spirit. They were the first ones that attacked Israel for no reason. Absolutely no reason. Israel is going towards the promised land, and there were people that were tired, and this spirit went after Israel. and began to pick up the feeble ones. So God therefore said, therefore it shall be when the Lord, verse 19, when the Lord thy God had given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Amen? God says, don't forget this. When you've come to the place of rest, this is the enemy that you've got to deal with. You've got to clean this guy, abolish him. Amen? One of the things that we have not done as believers is identify this enemy and understood that now that we've come to the rest of God, for the people of God have come to the rest of God. Is that right? We've come to the rest. So God says, now when you come to your rest, deal with this spirit. Abolish it. Wipe it off. This is the last enemy that the church needs to deal with. If we are going to enforce our rightful place in God, because just like the devil, see, before we came to this scene, the devil was around and he wanted to be number one. And here God picks us and he's never forgotten that. And he wants to make sure that you do not enjoy the benefits of the firstborn. But, hey, I didn't decide this. God decided it. Hallelujah. God decided that I be saved. Amen. And I'm not going to take my birthright for granted. I am not going to dishonor God and disrespect God by not pursuing after the things of God. Now, when Amalek came after Israel, the Bible tells us that Moses went up the hill. When God up the hill, he put his hands up. And when he put his hands up, the people of God won the victory. And when his hands came down, Amalek was winning. So Hur and Aaron held up Moses' hands until they wiped out the enemy and defeated him. And then God says to Joshua, to Moses, he says, I am going to destroy Amalek. I want Amalek wiped out. But Moses, repeating what God said, says to the people, says, God says he's going to battle with these people from generation to generation. And that's why you and I have still been battling with this thing, because of what Moses said. So we need to have our mouths sanctified to say what God said and not what we think. Let me say that again. We need to say what God said, not what we what? Think. What you think, if it is not correlating with what God said, is your own words. But your words are just as powerful in your mouth as it is in God's mouth. When you are a prophet of God, what you say takes weight. God backs what you say. And you are a son, a daughter of the living God. God is going to back what you say. According as you've spoken, so shall it be unto you. That's why we must not speak death and defeat into our lives. We must not speak based on what our mind says or thinks. When God says, I'm going to deal with this, it means that. Now, so we are in that place where we have to deal with this spirit. And now God says to us, when you come to your rest, deal with this spirit. So God has been dealing with this spirit, battling with this spirit through his people, whether it be through Agag that God sent Saul to wipe out the Amalekites. That was the first assignment. Go there now, wipe out the Amalekites. He goes, kills everything, and saves the king Agag. And saves some animals. Because he said, the people wanted to do whatever. Now, what we need to understand as we come to these last of the last days, that it is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. It's the rule of God. Now, in our natural thinking, in our natural mindset, that does not augur well with us. Everybody wants to be the boss. Eh? Come on. You're getting too quiet on me. Am I stepping on the right toes? Okay, but if we are going to function as the body of Christ, we've got to understand that there is leadership in God, especially in the year 2012, this year of governance, this year of leadership, this year that God has set up to establish order. We've got to understand that God has rules and regulations and order, and there is a position that God places each one of us in. Hallelujah. So, the spirit of Amalek, the first thing it tries to do is try to destroy the leader. And so the Bible tells us that the people of Israel, the people of Israel, now faint, seeking for water, thirsty. The Bible says that Moses said, these people are ready to stone me. Because that's what the spirit tries to do. Tries to point the finger of accusation against the leader and so on and so forth. The same became true of David in Ziklag when the Amalekites again attacked. And he's discouraged. The people want to attack him. Everybody blaming the leader. They want to stone him to death, but this is the same man that brought them out of the low state that they were to a proper place, and now they want to kill him. But now, I'm not going to spend my time dwelling on this particular subject. I've got to go on to Midian, because this is the twin spirit. Now that you have some introduction to what we're talking about, let's go on. Midian. What is this spirit of Midian? Midian is the child of Keturah. Keturah is the wife of Abraham. After Sarah died, he married again. And he married this woman called Keturah, and Keturah gave birth to, I believe, 5 or so sons. And one of them is Midian. Now, what happened was that Abraham sent Keturah's children away with a gift and gave all the inheritance to his son. What is the name of the son? Okay, you're listening. Isaac. Isaac gets all of the best, and these guys get gifts. Now, Midian says, I don't like this deal. I want the stuff. Just like Esau. So these two spirits are after the inheritance. Are you with me? The people of God have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. And these two spirits are in cohesion to make sure that you and I are stripped of our stuff. That has been the history. So, what is Midian? What does Midian mean? Midian means, simply said, it simply means strife. Are you with me? Midian is what? Strife. So, for the enemy to get at your stuff, he has to generate an atmosphere of strife. That's why the Word of God says, the man of God, the child of God, must not be in strife. So, you think that if you bring your tithes and your offerings, give first fruits, give and give and give, that's what's going to open the windows of heaven. Yeah, it gives the right of God to do that, but strife will deny you of receiving. Are you with me? So, the problem is not whether you gave or didn't give. It's whether the devil has been very effective in generating strife in your life. And the spirit of Midian is that spirit that generates strife. And its target is to get your stuff. Now, let's look a little bit closer. Let's look at the book of Judges. Come with me to the book of Judges. I know as I'm going right now that I'm not going to be able to finish what I'm going to talk. I need to talk about. I can see it right now. In the book of Judges, starting to read from verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord, what? Delivered them into the hand of Midian. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. He had to let them go. And he let them go into the hand of Midian and said, this is not right. When you do not honor God and you pursue your own agenda, God has no choice because you've allowed the lordship of another spirit. It says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They started hiding not in the city. They were hiding in holes. They found themselves holes, dens, where animals are supposed to be. That's where the people of God were hiding themselves. And it says in verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown. Hear this. When Israel had what? Sown. That the Midianites came up and the what? Amalekites, these two go together. And the children of the east, or Mount Seir, even they came up against them when they had what? Sown. This is where most of God's children begin to lose it. Have you ever sown, and after you sowed, you hit trouble? Anybody like that? Raise it real high so I can see. Look at all of that. Is that how it's supposed to be? No. When you sow, you're supposed to have a great harvest. But now you sowed and trouble hit. Bang! Just as soon as you did it. Why? It is this spirit. The spirit of Midian, when he knows that this seed is going to bring about you pulling in the inheritance of the Lord, goes after that seed to make sure you do not get the harvest. Now, sometimes, this is what happens. It does not destroy the seed. It allows it to grow. And just when you are about to get the harvest, it's gone. So I thought it was there. Oh, the Midianite spirit. Watch out. Listen to me. Watch out for the generation of strife around you when you are expecting a miracle. Because there's one spirit, actually two spirits, that are involved in trying to cut you down and make sure that you don't make it. Make sure that you don't have a testimony that glorifies God. And it is the spirit of Midian. Their main target. You see, the spirit of Amalek attacks the weak. But the spirit of Midian attacks the strong that are sowing to make them weak. You see it? It attacks the strong to make them weak, and now the Amalekite spirit comes. So this is a head and tail spirit. It's like a crocodile. It swipes at you with a head, and if it misses you, it goes at you with a tail. It says, and they camped against them and destroyed, watch this, destroyed the increase of what? The earth. Do you remember we're talking about this concerning the Amalekites when we're talking about Ziklag, that they covered the whole earth? Remember that? Now, this is not a geographical spirit in terms of geographical Winnipeg or Toronto or Pennsylvania or New York or... No, it is the whole earth, these two spirits. They are the two spirits that cover the whole earth. And that's why. You see, people are saying, we've got so many religious wars. You know why you have religious wars? It's this Midianite, Amalekite spirit. It's these two. They generate all kinds of confusion in the earth. And they are after your money. They are after your family. They are after your inheritance. And you say, how can we defeat them? Well, that's where we're going. We'll end there. He says, listen to this. He says, and they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. That's their purpose. And Israel was greatly impoverished. Think about it for a moment. Who owns the wealth of the world? Christians or non-believers? Come on, talk truth. Truth. Huh? Unbelievers. They don't know God. They got all the wealth. And they laugh at Christians who are busy praying and are still broke. Huh? Are you on the same page with me? The purpose of Midian and Amalek is to make sure that the people of God stay in poverty. There are not many people of the world who are praying for money. Only Christians pray for money. Only Christians. And we are the ones who are not supposed to be praying for money. But we are more broke than the world. We envy the world. And if a child of God, your brother or your sister is making it in life, you become jealous. Why? Why do you become envious? When there's so much more in God that He can provide for every one of us. Huh? This is not right. But we're trying to identify what is involved in generating this atmosphere of limitation. Now, last week I shared with you about Balaam. Did I not? Or did I not? No, I didn't. Oh, okay. Now, let me go to Balaam just a little bit. You remember Balaam in the book of Numbers? Numbers 24. Numbers 24. Numbers 24. I'm about to bring two things together here. It says, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Actually, let me go a little bit earlier than that. Look at Numbers 22. So then the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. I'm going to talk about the Moabite spirit in subsequent teachings. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed. Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian. Okay, these are two different people. The problem is Moab. Moab is afraid. But what does he do? He goes and he consults with Midian, the elders of Midian. And it goes on and says, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Look at the description of the people of God, Israelites. He says, they cover the face of the whole earth. We are spiritual Israel. Amen? We cover the face of the whole earth. For the enemy to cover the face of the whole earth, the Midianites and the Amalekites described that way, is because of you. Because you are all over the place. Amen? So you've got an enemy that's all over the place because you are all over the place. But understand, geographically, they are just in a particular spot. But God is not seeing them just in that particular spot, because there is a spirit behind Israel. Are you with me? And you are spiritual Israel. And you have natural Israel. You have Midian, you have Amalek, and you have the spiritual components of those two. Amen? So now you have a battle between the spiritual Israel, natural Israel, physical Amalek and natural Midian, and the spiritual dimensions. But now we are talking about the spiritual dimensions. Are you with me? Okay. So here's Moab. Moab is a son of Lot, an incestuous son. Are you with me? And Moab goes and makes ally. You remember Lot now. You remember Lot? Lot is the one who took the better side, right? And lost everything. You remember him? And guess what? He wants. He wants to still get his stuff. So he makes ally with Midian. There's no reason. You read the passage of Scripture. There's no reason to consult with Midian at all, other than this is the spirit that will bring about destruction to the people of God. So here's Balaam. Balaam comes and he tries to get up onto the mountaintop so he can see Israel and curse Israel. Another day I'll spend my time talking about Balaam in proper terms. But he cannot curse Israel because God took over and says, you're going to say only what I say. And instead of cursing Israel, he was pronouncing blessings over Israel. I am saying to you today, in the name of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what God is about to do to every Midianite spirit, do to every Amalekite spirit, do to every spirit that's contrary to you. They will speak the blessings of God out of their mouth concerning you in the name of Jesus Christ. The blessing is going to come from every side. No limit to what God wants to do. God is going to cause your enemy to speak the blessing. Now, Balaam tells us some very interesting things. Come with me. I'm skipping a little bit because I want to get something across to you. 24:7, Numbers 24 and verse 7. Listen, remember, Agag has to do with Amalek, right? The Amalekites. Verse 7. He says here, This is Balaam prophesying. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than what? Agag. Whose king? The king of the people of God shall be higher. Are you with me? Higher than who? Agag. Agag is the king of the Amalekites. When Israel first had their king, the king of the Amalekites was Agag. And God is saying, through Balaam, many years before, the king of which people? Verse 5. Let me go a little bit further. Let's take it up from verse 2. It says, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty. And remember what we did yesterday? We prayed over our eyes, we prayed over our speech, we prayed over our hearing. And we've been doing it for a while now. And the reason we've been doing that and pronouncing that is because these are the three things that we must have. We must have the ability to see, the ability to hear, and the ability to prophesy. Amen? Prophesy what God is showing to us. Now, he says, we saw the vision of the Almighty falling into entrance, but having his eyes open. Having his eyes open, meaning it was so visible right in front of him what he was seeing. His eyes were not closed. He was not dreaming. He was seeing exactly what he was seeing. It's like a movie right in front of him. He says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lion alloys, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. Now, what does that remind you about? It reminds you of Psalm 1, where God talks about the fact that when we do not stand, sit, walk with the ungodly, but meditate on the word of God, that we become trees planted by the riverside, and we bear our fruit in season. Amen? And our leaves do not wither. Okay? Based on us meditating on the word of God. Are you with me? Your eyes truly become open when you begin to meditate on the word of God. And once your eyes are open, they are open for everything. When you can see everything. What does that mean? I can see, there's a monitor here. I can see Pastor Daniel. I can see Pastor Sunday. I can see Pastor Maria. I can see this chair. I can see this Kleenex box. I can see, what is this here? A jacket. I can see all of it. Why? Because I can see. My eyes are open. I can see this. I can see this Kleenex box. I can see her hat. All of these things are different. You understand what I'm trying to say? When your eyes are open, you can see everything. When your eyes are open, you can see what sickness is. You can see what is healthy. You can see money. You can see vehicles. You can see houses. You can see into the future. You can see behind, now, down the line. When your eyes are open. And this is what we need to have. The ability to see. Because when you see and you can compilate everything together, you don't have no reason to be afraid. Now, I can see what's coming up in 2012. And I know all of that bad stuff that's happened in 2012 has nothing to do with me. I first found out that it has nothing to do with me because I found it first in the Word of God. The Word of God opened my eyes to see what God sees concerning me. And what God sees concerning me is the truth and nothing but the truth. And this is what you and I need to understand, that God does not want you broke. God does not want you poor. God does not want you defeated. God does not want you in sickness and in disease. God wants you blessed and highly favored all of your days. That's the only thing you need to see. That's the only thing you need to experience. That's the only thing you need to accept. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yesterday, during the service, towards the end of the service, my voice was gone. I mean, if you remember that. And I said something. I said, my voice will be back this morning. Amen? I'm not going to have that problem. It's going to be resolved. Now, how quickly did that happen? Because I did not buy into the lie of the enemy. I have a word to bring here today, and that lying devil, Amalek and Midian, were trying to attack my voice. But I'm seated above in heavenly places. Amen? And I'm not going to allow my physical body in the natural realm to be attacked and stay defeated. No. From the heavenlies, we're going to tweak this and say, buddy, you're going to respond to the word of the Lord. My voice is exactly how it should be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what God's word says. Balaam is prophesying about the spirit of Agag and saying that our king shall be higher than Agag. We are going to operate from a higher dimension. Hallelujah. And the enemy must be cut down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we address the spirit of Midian? Judges. I know I'm going to be discussing this subject over and over through this year at one level or the other. In Judges chapter 6, Judges 6. The Midianites were after Israel. Judges 6:6 says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, they cried unto the Lord because of what? The Midianites. Now you understand why God allowed them to be delivered. Because they were not relating with their father. And so God had to put them in a position where they recognized what they had been receiving and protected from all of this time. And now that the fire was on them, they cried back to God. And God responded by picking up. This is what I love about the Lord. Paul says, look at you guys. There are not many strong amongst you, not many noble amongst you, but God took the foolish things of the earth to dumbfound the wise. Amen? You see, God, you and I are perfectly qualified to be used by God to address this subject. Why? Because we have nothing, but we have something. Isn't it amazing that we are starting this year by bringing the big bucks? You think God didn't know what he was doing? No, God had he had all of this planned. Amen? When Pastor Mary was commissioning for that to be done, and Brad Corrick went after it, he told me, he said, you know, I was going to build it. It was not going to be this big. But then, you know, the Lord spoke to me that it's got to be bigger. because all of our stuff is coming back. Hallelujah. You will experience increase at every level. Listen to me. You know, when we prayed a moment ago that you'll be able to give more than you've given before. You know, some people say, oh, the church wants more money from you. No, no. If that's where your thinking was, you are so far in the boonies. What I was praying is this, that you have so much more to give so that you can give so much more. And every time you have more than enough, and nothing will be able to stop the blessing of God in your life. Amen. My God. Listen, no boast. When I say this was an unusual year, it's an unusual year. In all my life, I never thought that there would be a time that God will so supernaturally bless so that I can do the things that I need to do supernaturally. I'll wait on that testimony a little bit. I'll wait on it. But let me tell you. God is so good. He's amazingly good. It's not how much you've got in your pocket, brother. It's the favor of God on your life that will turn things around for you. I have some testimonies in my pocket. Now I'm going to release one after the other of the favor of God, the goodness of God, that there's no limit to what God can do in your life. The Midianite spirit must be crushed. The Amalekite spirit must be crushed. They must be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen? God's hand is on your life. He said, Pastor, what are you saying to us? This is simply what I'm saying. You have no reason to stay where you are. I have no reason to stay where I am, because God has something greater and better for every one of us. Your worst days are behind you. The world is about to get into the worst days that they've ever experienced, but your worst days are behind you. You've gone through your suffering. You are coming to your reward in the goodness of God. Amen? Embrace it. I am not just speaking to you just words. I'm prophesying over your life. See, I'm not one of those who come and prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, and thus saith the Lord. When I'm saying it, that's thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah? So get it. So here they are. Balaam could not curse Israel. It didn't matter what mountaintop they took him to, he could not curse Israel. He only spoke the blessing. And he was kicked out. Balak kicked him out and said, I told you that I was able to promote you, but because you came here and instead of cursing the people that I called you here to curse, you kept on blessing them, God has denied you of the promotion that I have for you. That's exactly what he said. He said, God has denied you of the promotion. Is that not the same lie that the devil speaks? Oh, since you say seven, God, look at how things are. Lying devils. So, Balaam caved. The Bible tells us that Balaam told Balak what he needed to do to get Israel to fail, to lose the blessing. You know what he told him? He said, get them to start messing around with the Midianites. He didn't say, get them to mess around with the Moabites. He said, get them to mess around with the Midianites. So, one of the sons of Israel went and got a lady called Cosby, and brought Cosby with him in front of Moses and the elders of Israel, flaunting this Midianite woman You know what Cosby means? Want to know? Cosby the Midianites. Cosby means deceitfulness. That's what it means. That's the meaning of the name. See, I come from Africa originally, and I like to know meanings of names. What does this name mean? I will go every which way to find out the meaning of this name. I want to know. What does it mean? Cosby means deceitfulness. So he brings deceit into Israel, and Israel started to lose. Israel was stripped of its authority, of its power. But back to Judges. God speaks into the life of a young man called Gideon. Says to him, "Thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "Who is here? Who are you talking to? You're talking to me." "Yeah, you, mighty man of valor. Me. I'm the least in my family. I'm way out there at the bottom. Nobody knows about me. You talking to me? Yes, you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to destroy the Midianite spirit. Me. Yes, you." He says, "Wait here." So he goes, and the first thing he does was go bring an offering. The first thing that you need to do when you're coming against the spirit of Midian is to bring a special offering. Now, I want to say something to you right now. I want you to hear it loud and clear in your spirit. You have to give your offering an assignment. Amen? You have to give your offering what? An assignment. So, within the next few months, I want you to come. Don't wait for me to tell you what. But I want you to come and bring a very special offering. And you say, "This offering is assigned as an offering to tear down the stronghold of the Midianite Amalekite spirit." That's your assignment for that offering. It's not your tithe. It's a special offering. So he goes and brings that offering. And then the second thing he does, he tears down the altar of Baal. He tears down the altar of Baal and he erects another altar for God. And yesterday the Lord told us that this was a year of restoring the altar of the Lord. Do you remember that? Okay. So there's a restoration of the altar of God. Reverence, honor for God. Amen? You've got to erect that altar in your life. You cannot marry yourself to Baal or to an ungodly spirit and expect the blessing of the Lord. You must first of all give reverence to God. The word of God says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then every other thing shall be added unto you." Amen? Now we're starting. We have come, we've acknowledged that we have come into our rest. And we are assigning ourselves to destroy the Amalekite and Midianite spirit. That's our assignment. If there's an assignment God has given to us as his people this year, it is that assignment. That's why he's homing in on this. Because your stuff must come back to you. My stuff must come back to me. All of our stuff must be gathered again in the name of Jesus Christ. The blessing of God must abide in our lives. Hallelujah. So he goes, and you know the story well. What is the next thing that happens? There is a restoration of leadership. Someone say restoration of leadership. Okay, come with me to chapter 7. I'm going to revisit all of these things again in the days to come so that we drive home the particular point right through. Chapter 7 says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early. Actually, let me do one thing first before I go there. Judges chapter 6 and verse 17. This is the statement of the Lord. Judges 6. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. It says, and the Lord said unto him, that's to Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as what? As what? As what? You know what that means? That's unity. Because remember, Midian means what? Strife. Defeating the spirit of strife as one man means what? United strength. Unity. Okay? Gideon is acknowledged as the one man. Now, when they went out to battle, Gideon said, when they had their torch, remember that? The Bible says, first of all, they had victuals. You know what victuals are? Meat. That was one of the key ways of giving an offering. Yes? You remember? I don't hear nods. So talk back to me. Victuals were a sign of what? Offerings. Yes? Okay. He gave them victuals. They carried victuals in their hands. And then the next stage was that they had a trumpet and they had pitchers. And when they went out with their trumpets and their pitchers, they were to say out of their mouth, the sword of the Lord and the sword of what? Gideon. That's how. After God reduced the thousands to 300, God reduced their numbers to the smallest possible amount of people, all they were to shout was the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And that's how they defeated the Midianite spirit. Midian took off and left all of their goodies behind. Remember, they traveled with all of their wealth. Midian wants to keep the stuff and so doesn't want to leave the stuff anywhere else. So he brings all of his stuff with him. So that way you don't have to go looking for the stuff. It is there. When the word of God says there's going to be a transfer of wealth, it is not going to be by wire. You're going to be right there with it. You're going to be right there. You're going to eyeball this stuff. It's there with you because your enemy brought it, carried all that load of wealth with it to come fight. And now that you've defeated them, you've got all this stuff already delivered. You don't need Canada Post or FedEx or DHL or Bank of Nova Scotia or whatever else to wire anything or mail anything. It's going to come right to you where you are because Midian and Amalek are going to hand it over to you. They will run. They will flee from you and leave all this stuff they brought in the name of Jesus. Who does something like that? You know, you go into battle, you carry all your gold. But you know what? The Bible says that the Midianite spirit dresses even its camels with gold. They have so much stuff, your stuff, my stuff, our stuff, that they are hoarding. They can spend all this stuff. But God is going to cause the enemy to drop every single one of them. Amen? And we're going to do it. We're going to do it because we understand the authority of unity. The commanded blessings come where unity is. Hallelujah. The spirit of Agag shall bow to our king. Hallelujah. 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 The victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, I know I'm going from place to place to place just to cover as much as I can. But I encourage you to read the book of Judges, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, to get some of this information that I've been sharing with you today. Amen? Now, one more passage of scripture I want to read to you, and then we're going to pray. We talked about the restoration of the altar in verse 24. That's where you find that. Now, in verse 32 and 33, I want to bring us to remembrance again of what these two spirits are. He says, therefore, on that day, verse 32, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he had thrown down his altar. Let Baal plead against him. The people of Israel want to kill Gideon for tearing down the altar of Baal. And his father stood before them and says, wait a minute. Don't you think Baal can take care of himself? He can take care of himself. Leave the boy alone. If Baal wants to take care of himself, let him do it. So what do you think happened? What is the spirit of Baal comprised of? Ah, look at this. It says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. The response to the spirit of Baal is that this two key spirits plus the children of the east showed up. This is how Baal is going to take care of himself. So now you've identified what that spirit is. That same spirit of Midian and Amalekite shows up with Baal. Baal has to do with wickedness, has to do with witchcraft. So you have Amalek, Midian, comprised together in a spirit called Baal. And this is how the enemy shows himself. A twisted, wicked, bewitching spirit. And that bewitching spirit manifests itself in the spirit. The Bible says the sin of witchcraft is, or disobedience is as what? Witchcraft. Are you with me? Poverty is not born out of anything but the spirit of disobedience. For believers, that's how the enemy gets to get your stuff. Oh, but for the world, those who do not know God, disobedience is a good way for you to collect stuff. Are you with me? Going against the grain is how they collect their stuff. But for you, that's how you lose your stuff. So if you're going to act like the world and think you're going to get the benefits of the world, sorry, too late. It's not going to happen. That's why you cannot look at the world and take the things of the world and bring it to the church. The church is not a place to practice disobedience. You know what? We don't like to be corrected. Who are you? I'm a volunteer. If you don't talk nice to me, I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do. Leadership is identifying whoever it is that God has given to you to lead and working in union with that one to accomplish the greater purpose, because that's how your blessing comes and that's how it's going to abide. Amen? So this year, remind yourself of what we talked about yesterday about leadership. We said certain things about leadership yesterday, about how leadership goes on to address the issue of focus, discipline, governance, all of those things. Pull them together and allow yourself to grow in the things of God, because these are some of the ways that we're going to destroy the spirit of Midian and Amalek. You are not going to destroy it with disunity, dishonor, the lack of fear of God. It's not going to happen. You have to work on those aspects. I have to work on it. And we shall see the manifestation of the will of God in our lives in this very moment. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. So I'll leave it at that for now. There's so much more to share with you. And I will come to those things in the days to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But remember, above all things, today, God has called us to dominate. And the spirit that we want to dominate over is the spirit of Amalek, Midian, which in conjunction are embedded in the spirit of Baal. And remember, that's what the spirit of Baal is, what the children of Israel had to contend with over and over and over and over and over. And remember, the first thing that Elijah did was erect the altar. Remember that? He erected the altar and then he killed the prophets of Baal. Now, bottom line, don't you dare try to confront the spirit of Baal or the spirit of Amalek or the spirit of Midian without first of all erecting the proper altar to God. Yes? Please, don't become super whatever and mess with these spirits, because they will kick your behind. Huh? I'm going to plead the blood of... If you don't erect the altar first, the altar that the blood of Jesus Christ is on, you have no chance. They have been around longer than you have. They've been dealing with nations. You are no match to any of these spirits going at it without proper order. And we're going to establish that proper order so that we know exactly what to do and how to do it to accomplish the purposes of God. Amen? And you and I qualify, because we are the least, and God uses the least so that nobody can boast to deal with these big strongholds of darkness. Amen? And God is going to use you. God is going to use me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.